I'm going to contend that you can actually use compilers to generate secure code. And in fact, addressing the last question that was asked, this is about writing a compiler which takes in arbitrary code and then converts it into a secure form which does not leak side channels, okay? All right, so this work has been done along with my colleagues, actually my advisors at UT, Calvin Lin and Mohit Tiwari. And okay, so I think most of us would agree that doing arithmetic in the domain of floating point numbers is not easy. Part of the proof is in the fact that the specification, which is the IEEE 754 document, that standard itself is about 70 pages long. And when processor vendors describe the implementation of these floating point units and how to use these floating point units correctly, then that description goes into hundreds of pages. And so, like most people, including myself, would like to see these floating point implementations as like a black box, you know, not have to worry about the details of its execution as long as these implementations are correct, secure, and fast. Okay, three main requirements. And as it turns out, some of the most commonly used floating point implementations actually provide you two out of these three guarantees. They guarantee that these are correct because they have been formally, or at least a subset of these operations have been formally verified using tools like ACL2 or Hall4. They're often fast because they have, because of the advent of wider vector units, special compiler optimizations, even GPUs and DSPs. But as far as security is concerned, and especially side channel defenses are concerned, there haven't been any strong solutions. And so when you don't have strong security, then you can have problems like this. So last year at Oakland, a team from UCSD showed that you can break the browser's same origin policy that we have come to rely on so strongly using timing side channels. So the basic way the attack actually functioned was that you would have a web page which contained an iframe, a victim iframe, which contained some sensitive information like this checkerboard pattern. And the attacker was, the same web page actually contained a script which was loaded from some attacker website, some third party source, okay? So the same origin policy basically states that if there is something that is loaded from a different source, the attacker.com, let's say, then it should not have contents, it should not have access to the contents inside the iframe. However, using these timing side channels, the attackers were able to break that same origin policy and actually steal pixels one by one and recreate the contents of that iframe. Okay? So now the reason why this attack actually works is because of side channels and floating point instructions. And to make my point, I'll take the square root instruction as an example. So the latency of the square root instruction, that is the time it takes to execute that instruction, actually depends on the operand values, what values you pass as input to the square root instruction. And it not only varies based on the inputs, but it also varies quite widely. So if you pass in a subnormal value, which are values really, really close to zero, then the difference in latency is more than 20x. And so from an adversary's perspective, if the adversary sees that there is a certain instruction sequence, and that same instruction sequence takes in different amounts of time, then by simply observing the fact that in one instance it took longer time, allows the adversary to infer that, okay, you probably are using subnormal values. So just by observing time without having direct access to the data, the adversary can infer certain details about your program's execution. Now, as it turns out, most applications which use floating point functionality don't depend on just these instructions. They actually use several higher level operations like sine, cosine, or exponentiation, logarithm, and so on. And as it turns out, these are a surprisingly leaky side channel because they contain even more avenues for side channel information leakage. So I'm going to show you an implementation of one such function. This is the exponentiation function. This, given a value of x, it computes 10 power x. And so if you look at the implementation of these functions, they sometimes often contain if statements which depend on the secret values. Sometimes they also contain function calls or array accesses which may use values which depend on the secret inputs, and so your address trace can differ. Similarly, previously, if you had an if statement, your instruction trace can differ as well based on the secret values. And they may also use other floating point instructions like this multiply instruction, which can create differences in timing. Now, there are a couple of features that I haven't shown here which are also common to other floating point operations like loops and pointer dereferences. And so the higher level point that I'm trying to make is that these operations are basically fraught with different kinds of side channels. And so to prevent bad things from happening, we present our solution called Escort. Now, Escort is a collection of floating point operations, and these operations close digital side channels. That is, they do not leak secrets over digital side channels. And just as a quick reminder, digital side channels are side channels which carry information over discrete bits. So these typically manifest at the level of the microarchitecture and above. So things like cache, address trace, branch predictor, time, instruction count are digital side channels, whereas EM radiation, heat, sound, light are not. Okay? Now, we actually went one step beyond just generating these floating point operations. We actually automated ourselves out of their job by writing a compiler that generates these secure operations. Okay? So the overall workflow is now like this. You have the Escort compiler, which takes in some arbitrary math library source code. It could be glibc, it could be muscle. In our case, we use muscle because, in my opinion, I think muscle is much cleaner. But in addition to compiling the code down to a shared library form, the Escort compiler also applies a series of transformations. And those transformations are meant to prevent these digital side channel information leakages. Okay? One other quick thing to note is that this generated code, which does not leak these side channels, is fairly comprehensive. It has about 120 different functions. And there were actually only two functions from the original MuscleC maths functions that we could not compile down to the secure form. And if there is interest, I can talk about that offline. But it is almost functionally equivalent, a direct replacement to the standard math functions. Okay? So over the next few slides, I'm going to talk about the specific transformations that Escort makes. And I'll start with the basic operations. These are operations like add, subtract, multiply, divide. These correspond to individual instructions. And let's first see what happens when you have the non-secure situation, okay? So in this case, let's say you have some operation like multiplication. You have the same program, but executed in two different instances. In one instance, it is multiplying A and B. In the other instance, it is multiplying C and D, okay? Now, because of the fact that the multiply instruction takes different amounts of time, you can imagine that in the worst case, the next instruction is executed based on the latency of the previous instruction, and so the start time of the next instruction varies. Now, to make this kind of operation secure, Escort has a rather simple and elegant solution, which is to have a concurrent dummy operation that runs along with the indented operation. Okay? And in this case, it's P times Q. The key point with respect to P times Q is that P and Q have been checked offline to consume the maximum amount of time. And so it essentially holds the resource until P times Q finishes, thus enforcing fixed time execution for the multiply instruction. Okay? Now, the way Escort actually implements this on x86 machines is by leveraging spare SIMD lanes in SSE and SSE2 registers. And the values of P and Q are actually none other than subnormal values themselves. Now, of course, there is no processor documentation saying that this is expected to give you fixed latency. There is no detail available in that form. However, based on our extensive tests and the evaluation, which I'll get to at a later point in time, does indeed show that this generates near fixed time operations. Okay? So that's about the instructions. But as it turns out, as I mentioned earlier, floating point functions, software functions, have a variety of language features which leak these digital side channels, right? And the kinds of solutions that are applicable to these floating point software functions are very different from the solutions which are applicable to individual instructions. And so over here, I'll talk about the first three, if statements, loops, and array accesses, and the rest of them are then the paper, but I won't talk about them today. Okay, so if we look at if statements, let's consider a really simple program like this. If secret is true, then x gets the value 5, otherwise x gets the value 10. Okay. Now this really simple snippet can be written in a slightly equivalent form on the right-hand side by using this predicate notation. So in this case, secret and not secret are basically just predicates that guard the assignment. So if secret is true, x gets the value 5. If secret is not true, x gets the value 10. Now, the reason for showing this form on the right-hand side is that the form on the right-hand side does not explicitly include the branch itself. The branch is actually hidden inside the predicate evaluation. And so, if we could, this is essentially a step in the right direction, because if we can realize this sort of program on the x86 machine, we would have eliminated or at least done something about these branch-based side channels. And I'm going to show you how this is actually converted into x86 instructions. And an intermediate step in that direction is to have some predicated write operation. So some of you might recognize this to be similar to the program counter model, but there are some differences, and I'll talk about those in a minute. But the predicated write operation takes in two values, A and B, and it also takes in a condition code. And the output is equal to A if the condition is true, otherwise the output is equal to B. Okay? The key point with respect to this predicated write operation is that this should not leak digital side channels in the first place. Okay? And if you're roughly familiar with x86 assembly syntax, this is basically how it is implemented. At the fundamental level, it is using the conditional move instruction, the one at the very bottom, and that has been thoroughly vetted to make sure that it does not leak digital side channels. So we can build the rest of our infrastructure on top of this core security primitive, which does not leak side channels, okay? Digital side channels. Now for shorthand, we'll express this notation as output equals predicated write condition, comma A, comma B. If condition is true, output gets the value A. Otherwise, if condition is false, then output gets the value B. Another quick thing to note is that Escort actually heavily uses this predicated write operation. It uses it not just to control side effects from memory reads and writes, but also to control side effects from exceptions and function calls. And we'll see some uses of these predicated write operations as we go along. But then going back to our original program where we were talking about the secret and non-secret, we can now directly convert that program to use this predicated write operation where if in the first statement, if the predicated write, if the secret is true, then x gets the value 5, otherwise the existing value of x is rewritten on top of itself. The second statement says that if secret is false, x gets the value 10, otherwise the existing value is rewritten. Okay? And that's sort of the fundamental idea behind Escort's handling of if statements. There is, of course, a lot of detail as to how does Escort generalize this to arbitrary if statements of different complexity. So that's where Escort's use of Z3 as a SAT solver, maintaining dependencies among basic blocks comes into picture. But I won't talk about that in the interest of time. The details are in the paper. But I want to turn to the more interesting case, which are loops. And loops can be tricky because of cases like these. So you have, in this case, there is an induction variable I going from 0 to n, and there is some body. Now, assume that n is secret, and so the loop trip count is secret, and so we don't want the adversary to know how many times the loop iterated for. Okay? Now, Escort's general philosophy in making this transformation is to let the program actually execute its actual number of iterations, which are n iterations. But then Escort doesn't really stop over there. It actually executes more iterations than n. These are dummy iterations, okay? And that can obviously raise the question as to how does Escort do this without crashing the program, without generating incorrect result, without even leaking the fact that it is executing these dummy iterations. And of course, there is another question as to how many iterations to execute. So I'll first show you the transformation, and then I'll address how does this you'll probably see for yourself that this does not crash the program or generate incorrect results. And so the very first step of the transformation is to generate a new loop with a new induction variable, let's say I prime, which goes from 0 to C, where C is the desired loop trip count. We'll talk about how Escort comes up with the value C in just a minute. But let's say we had this value of C, then the immediately next step and sort of the key step which makes all of this possible is to take the existing loop body and to associate the predicate with this. And this predicate basically allows, it's like a global on-off switch. You can turn off the side effects or turn on the side effects and let the program execute as it is normally executing. So everything else basically follows from here. So now we want to make sure that when we start executing the loop, the side effects are committed, and so the predicate outside the loop is assigned to true. And we want to make sure that when the terminal condition is reached, that is when the loop was about, when the actual number of iterations are complete, then we turn off the predicate, and we do that by assigning the predicate to false. Now, of course, we want to hide the fact that we updated the predicate, and we want to hide it from the adversary, and so we predicate the predicate assignment itself. And so that's basically the entire transformation. That's the key idea. As I said, there are details, but that's the fundamental idea behind the entire transformation. Okay. Now there is still one other part which I haven't answered yet as to how does Escort come up with C. And so there are a couple of options here. The first is to let the programmer or the user annotate the source code. Remember, all of this is in the compiler. So Escort has the ability to, Escort actually can do all the hard work of generating the code and not require the programmer to rewrite the source code. So the programmer can annotate the source code with minimum and maximum latencies or maximum iteration count. Or the other option is if the user wants to be lazy, then Escort can derive the desired loop trip count using a technique like predictive mitigation. So the main idea here is that Escort lets the program execute some X number of iterations, and then it checks if the terminal condition was reached at the end of those X iterations. If the terminal condition was not reached, then X doubles the number of iterations, executes 2X iterations, and then at the end of those 2X iterations, it checks again whether the terminal condition was reached or not. So as a result, the adversary can get to know that the actual loop trip count was somewhere between X and 2X, but not the exact value in between that range. Okay. There is one other part before I turn to the evaluation, which are array accesses. Now, array accesses are a problem because you can have data-dependent addresses being referenced. So if you have a case like this, then the final address is basically the base address of the table plus the secret index. And so an adversary can do basic math to derive the value of secret. To prevent this, Escort uses a rather simplistic and naive transformation, which is to essentially iterate over the entire array and fetch just one value. Okay, now of course this transformation is expensive. It is expensive to scan the entire array and fetch just one value. But as it turns out, math libraries typically use few and far tables in between, and so the overhead is somewhat manageable. Okay. So I'll start talking about the evaluation, and I want to break down the evaluation into three main parts. I'll talk about the security evaluation first, then the precision, and then performance. And there are, of course, details to each of these, and there are additional details in the paper. But starting with the security evaluation, here's a quick validation of the defense. So this is, here I'm plotting the variation in running time for different instructions on the horizontal axis. And the variation is being showed as standard deviation as a percentage of the mean. The reason why it's not absolute percentage and just a percentage of the mean is to compare this against other operations as well. So you can see that in the non-secure case, that is in the native or SSC and SSC2 instructions, the variation is really, really high. And with Escort and FTFP, which is a related solution, it stands for a fixed time, fixed point, the variation is extremely close, is zero or negligible down at the bottom. A similar story holds for higher level functions. So these are functions like sine, cosine, logarithm. And over there as well, the native operations can take highly varying amounts of time, whereas for FTFP and Escort, the variation is quite minimal. Now, these are still micro benchmarks. Remember the Firefox timing attack that I showed you earlier? Just a quick recap. The attackers were able to recover the contents of the victim iframe using the timing side channel attack. So the folks from UCSD were kind to actually lend us their code, and so we integrated Escort into Firefox and then reran the attack. And we observe that the attacker's ability to gain access to the original image is severely hampered as a result of using Escort. Okay. Now, this is still about timing side channels. As I said, Escort prevents non-timing or other digital side channels as well. And so as a quick proof of concept attack, we launched a side channel attack on the MuscleC library. This is when a victim is running a function like EXPF, the exponentiation function. And the attacker gets to observe the address trace of the victim. And then the goal is, can the attacker actually guess the input value based on the address trace of the victim program? And we find that without Escort, the attacker can successfully guess the input value. If you do use Escort, then the attacker's guess is reduced to random chance. Now, as with any general purpose floating point library, precision is important as well. If you don't have enough precision in certain applications, then you can get bad effects like numerical instability or crashed programs. And so as a quick empirical evaluation, we have over 10,000 random numbers that are generated, and then we pass these through Muscle compiled with Escort, Muscle compiled with GCC, and also with FTFP, the fixed time, fixed point solution. And then we compare the outputs. Now, normally you would expect, I mean, if Escort's transformation is correct, if it is functionally equivalent, then you would expect these outputs to be, the output of Muscle with Escort and Muscle with GCC to be identical, and that is indeed what we find. On the other hand, when you compare the muscle GCC with FTFP outputs, then the outputs differ substantially. And that's part of the reason why there is a big difference in these in the gap is because of the fact that FTFP uses fixed point arithmetic and not floating point arithmetic. Okay, now of course this is not a, I mean these are just 10,000 numbers. This is not a detailed evaluation that this will always hold true for all cases. But this is just to show the severity of the problem using these small enough samples. Now, of course, all of this does not come for free, but as it turns out, the overhead is not too high either. So here's the non-secure minimum and maximum latency for these basic operations like multiply, divide, and square root. And if you compare escort, the latency is actually very close to the maximum latency of the non-secure operation. So escort is adding just a thin layer of performance overhead on top of these non-secure operations. And if you compare with FTFP, the resulting overhead is substantially high. Okay. The story for higher level operations is slightly different in the sense that these higher level, in case of these higher level operations like sine, cosine, escort is almost twice as slow as FTFP. But remember that escort also is more precise and closes more side channels compared to FTFP. There is related work, but since I'm running short on time, I'll just briefly mention that FTFP is the closest one that that is related. It computes arithmetic in fixed point. Comparative transformations by Klimpert have also been designed, but they actually have a weak guarantee, and most importantly, they have to be manually written. And our own work called Escort, or called Raccoon, has the same goal, but it is extremely expensive in comparison with the approach that Escort actually takes. There is a lot more that I did not talk about today in the interest of time, but I highly urge you to look at the paper and please do contact us if there are questions. But in conclusion, I want to make three main points. The first is that escort is the first solution to close these timing side channels in floating timing and other digital side channels in floating point operations without losing the precision of non-secure operations. The reason why escort is able to make these transformations or make these guarantees is because the escort compiler is more aware of the microarchitectural details, like was mentioned in the previous talk as well. And as part of future work, we would like to focus on exploring hardware support for additional side channel defenses. So with that, I'll conclude, and I look forward to your questions.
Hi, you mentioned the minimum and maximum performance evaluation times compared with FTFP. Could you say anything about the mean, though? I wonder if...
This one?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Correct. Yeah. Do you know anything about the mean of the non-secure operations?
So I'm not sure exactly how would you define mean. So
For instance, if most of the operations are closer to the minimum,
Right. So, okay, I think your question, I can rephrase your question just one second. So I think I can phrase your question with respect to this plot. For the most part, subnormal values are not very common, and that is part of the reason why hardware manufacturers have the option to actually offload this into, say, probably slower means, because these are not used very often. So in the average case, for many applications, your latency would be actually close to these 7 or 11. But the attacker actually has the ability, as was shown in the attack, to induce subnormal computations in the program. So if your question is about how much do floating point operations typically cost, then that's usually around 7 or 11, 11 cycles. But in the worst case, they can take this really high penalty as well. Okay, thanks.
Very interesting talk, thanks. How visible is the side channel in an interpreted language like Java or Python or whatever? And how effective would these methods be? It seems like it would be really hard to do the parallelism at the low level that you're doing it in Java.
So I'll answer the second question first, because that's the easier one to answer. Okay. So the fundamental defense, let me not worry about the slides. The fundamental defense is basically to use the SIMD registers. And so regardless of which programming language you use, if the Java runtime system itself might have been written in C, for instance, and if that runtime system uses SSE intrinsics or SIMD intrinsics, then you could leverage this methodology to make Java's higher level operations secure. With respect to your first question as to, could you repeat your question?
How visible is the difference in a higher level language?
Right. That's kind of a tough question to answer because it depends on the application. Certainly, one of the reasons why the Firefox attack worked was because the attackers could time the differences between. I'll tell you a little bit about the attack, and then maybe that might give you an idea. So the attack itself was to apply CSS filters on a given image and time the application of each filter. So the filter was basically a convolution matrix. So you would apply this, you would convolve the matrix with the given pixel value or the given pixel values and time that. And so they did get a strong enough signal to be able to reconstruct the individual pixels. So I would say that you do require precise measurements, but they can be done at the application level. You don't need any special equipment as such, or you don't need to have any laboratory setup, like explicitly slowing down the application to be able to notice these differences.
Thank you.
Sure.
First of all, this is the SIMD trick is one of the coolest tricks I've seen in constant time space. So that was fantastic. But yeah. So I have two questions. One is, will you be releasing Escort?
Will I be releasing? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know when it'll be available?
Why don't you contact me? Thing is, I think I can release it right now as well. The setup is quite involved, and that is the only pain point at the moment, so we could talk about it offline.
And then the second question I had was, looking at the paper, you apply the math transformation when you can show that the operands are not subnormal. So floating point varies on things that are not just subnormals. They vary on normals, NANDs, and zeros, and infinities, depending on the processor.
Right.
So you need to apply it in all of those cases, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. So, just for the interest of everybody else, one of the things that I did not talk about was that Escort also uses Z3 as an SMT solver and queries the SMT solver to know whether a particular value may result in a subnormal operand. And if it does result in a subnormal operand and is used at a later point in time, only then Escort applies this transformation or changes the existing floating point operation to this secure floating point operations. That is meant, so instead of blindly changing all floating point operations in the program, Escort limits it to only those cases which are absolutely necessary. And so to address your question, Escort basically looks at the static floating point instructions. So it doesn't know whether the operands to those floating point instructions would be normal, subnormal, or any of those. It just asks Z3. And Z3 can decipher whether the floating point operand value could be normal or subnormal because it knows the arithmetic expression which is used as input to the floating point operand. So does that help? I mean, so we are essentially relying on Z3 to tell us.
Yeah, no, my concern was only that you're applying it, you don't apply it if they're not subnormal?
Yes.
But there's variation in floating point calculations anyway.
But those variations are fairly small. They're about 7 or 11 cycles or so.
They're measurable, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, perhaps I should show you the, so.
Maybe do it offline?
Yeah, we can talk about this offline as well. Absolutely, we should. Sorry about that.
Okay, all right. Okay, never mind. Thank you. Yeah, we talked about it.
Let's thanks. Try again. Thanks.